So separation, coming to the place where in the mind we allow the Word of God to divide. So in our beginning this morning, I talked a little bit about the book of Genesis and how Genesis must take place in you, me, everyone here. Correct? Even online. So just because the online people are online and not in our presence, in our face-to-face presence, that doesn't mean they're exempt from the things that we talk about. In fact, they have to be more committed to it if they're going to experience it, because there's nothing like face-to-face communication when it comes to the power of the Word of God. So Jesus' disciples, they walked with him how often? Every day. Very seldom did they leave Jesus and go home. They stayed in the fellowship of the Word of God. So you asked me Wednesday night, Bryce, how often do I think about these things, right? Well, this is my thought pattern. This is the way I think all the time. So, I mean, I think about other things too. That's just so you know. But most of the time, my considerations in my heart are these things. Thus, my prayers for you, my preaching of the gospel to my world, which you are all in, and the things that must be, that are ordained of God, that must be said, that must be understood, to where the wisdom of God begins to embrace the mind, to where every decision we make comes from God. So we become wise master builders. Isn't that the Son of God, a wise master builder? So it becomes very important. So when Genesis begins to take place and he begins to divide, why would he want to divide you? Why would he want to separate good and evil? Why would he want to separate light from darkness? Why would he want to separate dry land from the seas or waters? Why would he want to do all those things in you? Because he's creating you to be his son. Or can I say it more accurately? He's creating you to be himself. God is after God here. That's how he perceives you. He created you to be his family. He created you to be himself. And nothing less. So God knows who he is. God knows how he thinks. God knows what he possesses. God knows what he created when he spoke his word, and God knows what he continues to create every time you hear the word of God. He knows. And so he does not fail. And the Bible says, my word faileth not, because I, as God, do not fail. God is not a failure. God is not a loser in any way, shape, or form. And I think that's pretty awesome. So, it's what my urgency for you today is that because you hear this word, it's time for us to allow the word its place in us to where it can begin to form and create a Genesis in all of us. Because as that begins to take place and you begin to see the dividing and the separation take place in your mind, now you have a place of fellowship that's forming in you where the Word of God can be shared face to face. Or, my Lord saith unto thy Lord, sit thou at my right hand. Do you know that the opportunity that Jesus was given in calling out his disciples was, it was now given to him, gifted of the Father unto him, to begin to form in his disciples a place where he himself could fellowship the things of God. Thus, when he saw his disciple, he would say, follow me. Where are you going? Follow me. And so they would leave their nets, leave their occupation, and they would follow the word of God. Now, these men weren't just men. These were men that pursued the Word of God. They were at the temple, at the synagogue, every morning. bright and early for the reading of the Scripture. And in the reading of the Scripture, they began to hear of the Messiah, the coming of the Lord. When Andrew heard Jesus speak at the baptism of Jesus' baptism with John, Andrew heard him speak. Andrew knew, because John said, "There he is." So the word that was in John, when John said, "There he is," Andrew heard him say, "There is the Messiah." And Andrew believed the word of God. And he went and told Peter. And they went and told James. And they went and told Philip, "Hey, the Messiah has come." They had an expectancy in themselves because they began to hear the word of God and believe it, which began to put them in the prophecy of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why you're here. You're no different. The word is speaking to you the same way, to draw you unto the Father. No one comes unto the Father unless the Father draw him. So you're not here because you chose to be here. I just want you to know that. You are here because the Father hath drawn you to be here and has set you in a place where you can begin to hear the Word of God and set in motion in you the prophecy of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now that is a miracle. So I'm going to read something for you this morning. "We then as workers together with him," him being who? Jesus. Because it's always about Jesus. It's never about me. It's always about Jesus. If you are a Christian, by definition, then you are a follower of who? Jesus Christ. You are not a follower of yourself or your own mind. If you are a Christian, that means you have been baptized into Christ's body. And if you have been baptized into Christ's body, how many minds does Christ have? One. Who does he share it with? The Father. I and the Father are one. There's only one mind. How many gods are there? There's one. Here's the amazing thing. Does God share his throne? Yes, with who? His Son. Does Jesus share the throne of God? With who? His Son. So, does that open the door then for you as a son of God to share the throne of God? Think about it. Oh man, that's your inheritance. And what comes out of the throne of God? Huh? Everything. Everything comes out of the throne of God. Why do you think those 24 elders sit around the throne? And on that throne are the angels of God, seraphims, that sing praises unto the Most High. Because out of that throne is all things. And I mean all things. And God gave it to his Son Jesus. Jesus says that if you'll enter the door and sup with him, he'll give it to you. So that you as a son of God can go into the world and preach that gospel, open the eyes of the blind, cause the lame to walk, raise the dead, heal the broken heart. Wow. And yet, we cannot. But we will. Can you say that this morning? We will. I will. Because I believe. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Oh. That you receive what? In vain. In other words, in your own mind to do your own thing. That's vanity. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Who said that? Solomon. How would Solomon know? Because he did it. And he was when it comes to intelligence, man, he had it. He was an engineer's engineer. Right, Bryce? He was, man. He knew how to make sewer lines so that when the water flowed, so did the draft. He understood. He understood. Do you think God wants you to understand? I know he does. He wants to open the eyes of your understanding so that you can see as he sees. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So when's the day of salvation? Now. Are you in it? Yes, you are. God hath put you in it. God, by his grace, has put you in the salvation of the Lord. So that at the accepted time, which is now, you could come into the revelation of his Son, Jesus Christ. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. So, now if he's going to prove you, it sounds like he's going to prove you in many things, doesn't it? Is that necessary for you? Is that necessary for every one of you that sit under the unction of the anointing of God to hear the word of God? It's here for you to be proved of God as a son, so that you are left short of nothing, not one thing. Oh, but God. No, that's, don't go there. No buts. Yeah. No buts. Just God. Right? So if I allow God to have my mind, we talked about this a few weeks ago. If I allow God to have my mind and he begins to chastise me, good or bad, that's good. Because if he's chastising me, then I know he loves me. Isn't that what David came to? Okay, David did some pretty bad things. We talked about those a few weeks ago. But why did God allow David to do them and see the manifestation of it? So he could separate him from it, so that David would know in the manifestation that became present, David would know that that was sin and it was not the Father. And it was not the way for a king who shared the throne of God to behave or to partake in. That's why God allowed it. And he did it for our example. So now when I read it in the scripture and I go into the mind of David when the moment came when David not only took on the sin or partook in the sin, but also let it come forth in manifestation so that he could hear the word of God, now I get to partake in the chastisement that was there also, so that at the end of it, what do I know? I know that God is God. and that sin is not God. We talked a lot in this place about worldly sorrow. Tell me a manifestation of worldly sorrow. Worry could be. It's greater than that, though. That's okay, you enable your children here, but it's greater than that. Okay, depression is a result or a manifestation of it. Try to save who? Outwardly or inwardly? Okay, so worldly sorrow, is it outward or inward? It's inward. Oh, it's inward, hear me. You only see the manifestation of it, and you still haven't learned the spirit of it. You think that's a problem? That's a problem. So if God's going to deal with you based upon His Word, His Word was given unto you to begin to discern inwardly, not outwardly, so that you could know the spirits of the unrighteous, of the wicked, so that the Father could teach you, okay, here is the Holy Ghost, and here's the fruits of the Holy Ghost. Love, joy, peace, on and on and on. Patience, long-suffering, forbearance, gentleness, meekness, kindness, against which there is no law. And I forgot faith. Faith is in there also. So that's the fruit of the Holy Ghost. So what's the fruit of the not Holy Ghost? Oh, you mean there is a not Holy Ghost? Yes, there is a not Holy Ghost. And they even tell us what the fruits of the not Holy Ghost are. And we can even identify the fruits of the not Holy Ghost in us. And yet, what do we partake in? The not Holy Ghost. And it's like Pastor Gary says, we like it, we love it, we want more of it because it satisfies the flesh. And we love to have our flesh satisfied. We love it because it makes us feel good. I look at a lot of the manifestations that are happening today, and please, no one be offended at what I'm going to say, please. But a lot of the manifestations that are, not a lot of them, let me put it differently. All of the manifestations that we see taking place today come from a mind that is temporal and cannot see afar off. And we fail. We fail. So the scripture says to set your affection on things above and not on the things of the earth. So the Holy Ghost tells us to set our affection on things above and not on the things of the earth. The not Holy Ghost says what? Yeah. The not Holy Ghost says, oh no, don't look at the things above. You look at me. You look at me. And when you look at the not Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you what, you will do not holy things. That's the manifestation of it. So David sees Bathsheba taking a bath, right? So did he look at her with the not Holy Ghost or with the Holy Ghost? The not Holy Ghost. And the not Holy Ghost said what to him? Dang, she's hot. I don't mean to say it in jest, because really it's not funny, right? But that's what happens in the mind when we think that our spirit is the Holy Spirit. And that by my spirit, I can discern that which is holy and that which is not. And so a cliche that gets formed in the mind then is, oh, I just need to follow my heart. And your heart is corrupt and not holy. So what are you going to follow yourself into then? Yeah, you're going to go into death, tragedy, Actually, let's see, let's look at it this way. I'm already in death. I just haven't perceived it yet because I haven't allowed God to show me that the not Holy Ghost is death, because I like death. We think it's life, and it's not. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. What does God want to do for you by the power of his word? What does he want to coach you with? His armor. Why? So that you will know how to resist the devil? So that you will know how to take on the spirits of wickedness in high places? High places. We're talking about high places. High places. Spiritual places. So when the dividing starts, when the Genesis begins in you, do you think that there is going to be revealed some very wicked things in high places? I'm telling you. In darkness, you have no concept what's in your consciousness when it comes to wickedness. You just don't know. But when the revelation of the Word of God begins to work and begins to form in you that which God has ordained from the beginning, now the wickedness and the spirits that live in darkness to trap you into thoughts that are not holy are revealed. And God's saying, it's my power working in you to show you those spirits that have trapped you and kept you from becoming my son. Wow. Who knows them? Only God. Only God knows them. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. So as I'm reading down through this, is God dividing? We have read scripture after scripture after scripture in recent weeks that all talk about God dividing. He's dividing in you good and evil. He's dividing in you the wheat and the tare. He's dividing in you evil spirits and good spirits. Because there are both. Is God a good spirit? So that everything that is of God, is it a good spirit? So the angels that preach the gospel unto you, are they good spirits? Amen, huh? As unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now, so, the apostle is preaching the wonderful works of God. And he says, in us, you are not straitened, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Here it goes again. We read something in the scripture and we have no idea what he's saying. So why would he be writing to the Corinthian church and say something like that? It's funny, because you all sit there with a look on your face like I'm going to give you this revelation of the truth. It's true. I know it. And you have this great look of anticipation in your face or on your minds, right? And it's like, oh, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. Listen. It is times like this where we need to press in and accept the thing that God hath ordained for us. And that is to believe and to trust that what the Word of God is saying is true. So let me ask you something. Do you believe you're straightened or unstraightened? Oh, there you go. Isn't that an amazing thing? Let's look at it this way. And I'm not going to give you the answer. Because the answer will come. In fact, I will tell you this. Then in what we have read, the answer has already come. So what would the answer be? If what we read before was the answer, then what's the answer? It's the same for all of you. Have you allowed the creation and the revelation of Jesus Christ to form in you the wonderful works of God? Or are you still waiting for something outside of yourself? Oh, isn't that something? Let's go on. Now for a recompense in the same. I speak as unto you, my children, be ye also enlarged. Now, what's a recompense? It's a repayment or a reward, right? Okay. Now for a reward in the same, I'm going to speak to my children. So it sounds to me like he's telling them, maybe it's time for you to pay attention. Right? Maybe it's time for you to pay attention. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Important or not important? It's important. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? Isn't that what we have been talking about for weeks? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? What's an idol? What is it? Okay, it's another god. Does 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tell us what an idol is? It's our knowledge. It's how we have always thought about God and made it a religion in our own mind. It's a stumbling block that keeps us from coming to the acknowledgement of the truth. And what concord has Christ with Belial? Who's Belial? The devil. The unholy ghost. Or what part hath he that believes with an infidel? So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, are you an infidel? No. What's an infidel? One who doesn't believe in God. So is that a fool? Yeah, so an infidel is a fool or a reprobate. A reprobate cannot take on the mind of God. That's a pretty sad place to be. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Oh, what did he just tell you? Who are you? You are the temple of the living God, not the dead God. The living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. So, if you're the temple of the living God, then who are you? You are God's people. So, if I'm the temple of the living God, then am I an infidel? No. No. Do I agree with Belial? No. Do I understand the separation between light and darkness? Yes. Because I'm the temple of the living God. There are things that God hath imparted unto me to form his temple, to build his temple. So we have spent weeks talking foundationally about the Word of God so that as we build the house of God, we know what we are, and we know what we are not. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, I said all of that for this. Walk, or wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We want to be received of the Father. Amen? So, is he giving you a commandment then? Is he telling you how to enter into the kingdom of heaven? He is. He is directing your thoughts, showing you what to agree with and not to agree with, what to partake of and not to partake of. And if you will separate, if you allow that word that you have received to separate in you the light from the darkness, the seas from the dry land, and let it begin to form in you the stars of heaven and the moon and the sun, and let him tell you what they are and how they speak of the glory of God, he will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So in willingness to allow the Word of God to do what it was sent to do, to perform the will of God in us, who will he make known in you? The Son of God. And you will know that he and he alone is God. Can you say amen? God bless you this morning. I'm done.